Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North with your hosts, David Haw and Dan Weider.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome to the Take the North podcast. I'm David Haw from the Mully and Haw Show on 670 The Score. Dan Weider's from the Chicago Tribune up at Hallis Hall. Talking to you today after Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator for the Bears, finally got a chance to address the Bears media. And Dan, he waited till Thursday to do it. I think he probably could have waited another day and maybe practiced a little bit more, because if you're trying to project everything is going to be okay, I know it was just a media session, but there was not much about the way it projected things that made people feel like everything is going to be okay.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I do think that what you put on the field on Sunday afternoon for 3 hours is exponentially more important than what you put in front of a assembled crowd of reporters on a Thursday afternoon. But presence matters and authority matters. And I think what we're feeling in this week, as the Bears are at a bit of a crisis crossroads here at 1-2, is that there may even be some internal questions about whether they're in the right coaching hands to take the steps they need to take in 2024 to become the team that they believe they can be. I think you've had little hints of that all throughout the week. And then when Shane had his opportunity to be on the stage today, he came across as skittish, quite honestly. And I think you felt that in how fast he was talking and how jumbled some of the sentiments were. And I, at one point, David, during that exchange, I just wrote in my notebook, take a breath, man, because it just felt like he was on a witness stand feeling defensive and skittish and just not really having command of how to get the whole thing settled down. His role here is to get things settled down today, not a win in that department.
It bothers me when people who do what we do often mock and ridicule people who aren't gifted public speakers, because I think that's maybe cheap and lazy often. And I don't want to do that, because I think that you can coach coaches, and coaches have to understand and organizations have to respect the fact that, you know, we talk about this because, in my view, I think, and I know how you look at it too, Dan, I mean, the perception can help shape reality. And what you're talking about is that, you know, it's at times when you have coaches who don't project leadership or confidence, oftentimes you have players who are more experienced at what they do than the coaches are. And they're like waiting to be led. And it's all under the umbrella of leadership. So when Shane Waldron is skittish, and that's a great word, then you start to wonder about the direction of this offense and can he find solutions to these problems. I also think that when I talk about coaches needing coaching, somebody needs to get in that building. Somebody needs to get to Shane Waldron the way they got to Matt Eberflus, who has improved his public demeanor at times. And he has his moments. But the point being, before Shane Waldron faces the microphones again and these questions, he needs to be told some things that he didn't do well today. You need to pause. You need to sound more conversational. You need to project more strength and confidence. You can't sound like an AI-generated offensive coordinator, because that's at times what it sounded like. Press button here for answer on the speed option play. Press button here for answer on Caleb Williams' communication. And you can't do that because it sounds too rehearsed and it sounds less than authentic. And I think what you're trying to do is project calm and leadership, and he just missed an opportunity to do that.
I talk about things being at a crisis crossroads, and this is part of it, right? It's about trying to show direction. It's about trying to show command of where you're trying to take things. And right now, you just have more questions than you have answers. And the Chicago Bears have to get this figured out. This is a very important week on a lot of different levels. And we can talk about it more in a little bit, about the psychological stakes of this game on Sunday afternoon. But the first thing that has to happen is you have to have some belief that there's going to be a breakthrough soon. I think the one reason that I was very, very bullish on this team coming out of the preseason and at the end of training camp is because I had faith in the leadership in the locker room to be able to take ownership of things if they got a little bit rocky. That's one thing this week that seems to be coming into fruition, or at least taking place in a productive manner. And Shane started his news conference this afternoon by lauding the four offensive captains, DJ Moore, Caleb Williams, Cole Kmet, Mercedes Lewis, for being very forthright in their communication, for being very assertive in their communication. Now it's all about figuring out what was communicated and what the response is going to be to that coach, player, coach back and forth. That's a big deal right now, David.
It is a big deal right now, and I want to get to what Mercedes Lewis had to say after Shane Waldron spoke, but I don't want to leave yet what Shane Waldron had to say that was substantive, because I think we can talk a lot about the style and how maybe he failed to connect. But I just wondered, as you were sitting there hearing him answer the questions, which was a great group of questions from the Bears media and the Bears beat corps, I wondered, did he say anything about the game plan, about the fourth down call, about Caleb Williams communicating with his receivers or with his coaching staff? Did he say anything that made you understand better how things fell apart in Indianapolis?
No, not entirely. I know that there were several questions about why the shotgun run in the low red zone is preferable, obviously, for what they did the other day. And he just said that when you have your quarterback in the shotgun, it provides you a numbers advantage. You know, now you have your quarterback as a potential runner as opposed to just a guy that takes a snap and gives a handoff. Okay, that's all right. But you want to have a sense that their offensive identity is coming soon. And on the heels of what Caleb Williams' press conference was on Wednesday, where on multiple occasions he used the words comfortable and comfy as things he desires, right, for himself and for the offense at large, you get the sense that the Bears may be trying to do too much right now. And that fourth down play may be a snapshot of that, where you're just trying to do way more than you're equipped to do, or way more than you've practiced to do. And so you're running plays that you don't have maybe a ton of reps at, and they're not as smooth as they should be. And the way they're run gets a little rickety. And that's been consistent here through the first three games. And you've got to find a way to clean that up quickly. You got to find a way to troubleshoot this. And that's on Shane. It's on Matt Eberflus. It's on their respective support staffs to get that done. And then ultimately, as we're hearing from inside the locker room, it's on the players to take a certain level of ownership in this as well, to try to make sure that you don't just sit in the shotgun seat while the car is going off the road without trying to grab the steering wheel and make sure it doesn't go off the cliff.
For players to do that, I think they have to begin at one spot, and it has to be an assumption that's almost a given. They've got to respect the coaching staff that they are, you know, playing for, executing these plays, defending in some cases. And I wonder, this week, as you sort of have referenced a couple of times, and we'll hear from players, do you sense that this team fully believes or has faith in its coaching staff's ability to get the most out of this team and to do its job as well as some of these veterans feel like they're going to be able to do theirs?
No. I do not sense that. And I think that's why I call it a crisis crossroads, because I think there are questions. You use the phrase, do they fully believe in? There's no question in my mind that there's not full belief in that. Like you just have that feeling. Now, do they think it's an all hope is lost situation? No. Cole Kmet said that himself on Monday. And I think what they're trying to do right now is to regain that belief, you know, in a way that's very productive. I do think you have some very, very good voices. We talked about it on Monday with Cole and Kevin Byard in terms of guys who don't dodge reality. They look in the mirror, they acknowledge what they see, and then they explain how it can improve, as opposed to looking in the mirror, seeing something completely different, and trying to convince the whole entire outside world that it's not what you actually see, you know? And so it's really delicate in that regard, David. And so I think that's part of what the Bears are facing here. I think what jostles me probably to a smaller extent than it jostles some of the people that have been here for a while, players in the locker room, that is the fact that we're in this mode again. You know, like every year, it seems like we get in this mode. It's the second straight year we're in it in September, where you're looking around going, oh my God, are there answers to help this thing from crumbling right before our very eyes? And I think that's the process they're in. Again, I do think the leadership is strong enough to be solution oriented, to be connected, and to create an ownership that will be valuable. But now you got to get results out of it. And it's a real, I don't want to say tug of war, but it's a real heavy lift at this point for this team.
So you're a keen observer of everything up there. You hear something from players that gives you a reason to believe you might be detecting a trend or a pattern. Let's go back to Monday, because Jalen Johnson may have said something that would give us an indication that not all is right with the Bears after two straight losses, when he was on the Spiegel and Holmes show on The Score in the afternoons, his regular spot. He spoke this week. Jalen Johnson, this was what he had to say about the things we're talking about right now.
You know, does it feel dangerous right now in terms of what you want your season to be overall?
100%. I think, too, it's just, I feel like after two games, I feel like you get to that point where you either going to change some things, or you kind of go I can't even say go into the tank. You can start looking and start going into that mode of, man, forget it and things like that. So I feel like really, especially early when you had that high coming into the season, you win the first game, and now it's like, okay, you drop two, you drop three, then it's like, yeah, where are we at with things? So really just wanting to get back on track. And especially I think, too, we had the benefit of, I guess, losing those two games to AFC opponents. So I think when it comes to the long haul and winning the division and winning and not winning and getting into the playoffs, these next two games, I think we play the Rams and then we play the Panthers. So we need these two games. We need these NFC games. We got to start off right. So I think really for us, knowing which games are the got to have it and not just the ones that kind of just pad your record a little bit. But there's definitely a sense of urgency with the Rams coming in. They're a good team. I mean, they keep finding ways to win. They had no business winning the game they won yesterday. So really just know for us, no matter who they don't have or who they do have, they're going to find a way to try to get the job done. So especially for us, we got to come in and defend our home turf.
Dan, you like the sense of urgency. Not sure I'd be crazy to hear kind of the hints of unrest.
I mean, there's no question that what you heard is what I heard. You know, the hints of unrest. You know, he used the phrase, guys are on the verge of going into the mode of, man, forget it. You know, and so you think about what 1-3 would mean with another three-game losing streak in the month of September in terms of the what you just talked about a minute ago, the belief, you know, how quickly that erodes from September 1st to September 30th if you're not able to get this done on Sunday. And when Jalen acknowledged Matt Spiegel's description of this team being in a spot that's quote-unquote dangerous as 100%, that is 100% an acknowledgement that there's a little bit of unrest here and they're trying to get this back. Again, this is another category. And we talked about Cole and Kevin on Monday. We're talking about Mercedes Lewis and Jalen Johnson. These are the voices of the team for a reason, you know, and they're the leaders of this team. And so what they say projects, what they say matters. And I think you're right. I think you do sense some hesitance in there that if you don't get it turned around soon, you might lose some people in that locker room.
And using that as the backdrop and maybe the context of what we heard from Caleb Williams on Wednesday, talking about the communication and the coach communication between him and the coaching staff, or the coaches doing a better job with players, I think that it's not that much of a stretch or a leap to wonder if they were alluding, if he was alluding to the same thing that maybe Jalen Johnson was expressing. And there just seems to be a lot more. The Bears aren't as cohesive as you would like the first month of the season. Here we go again. It feels like last year they had, you know, a dysfunctional crisis they had to address, and they were losing all the games, 0-4. They're one loss away from starting 1-3 and avoiding that quick start that everybody came into the season agreeing they needed to have. And I think that's why today it was great when you guys caught up with Mercedes Lewis after Shane Waldron to address what you heard from the offensive coordinator, asking a guy who's in a position to know because he's heard from so many offensive coordinators and he is a captain. How would you describe the Mercedes Lewis exchange?
Yeah, there's a lot to it, and we'll play a little bit of it, and then we'll react and discuss some of the other things that Mercedes said. But I think you have a guy here that understands how to get the collective ownership of the locker room to try to figure out a path that gets them to a solution to what's been bothering them. And so when he, along with Caleb Williams and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet, go and talk to Shane Waldron, it means something. And the coaches have to have that open-mindedness to listen and to offer the back and forth that makes things happen. I asked Mercedes when they went to Shane Waldron what exactly the message was that they were trying to get across. Here's what he had to say on that.
I think mainly just continue to be vocal about the things that he sees and don't feel like you can't point guys out, you know, from the oldest guy in the room, being me, to the youngest guy. Like, don't feel like you can't, you know, coaches. I want to be coached. I want to be great. Like, this is not, you know, it's just not for play. You know what I mean? Like, this is our job. We understand that, you know, it's a high stressful and production-based business, and we all got to be doing the same things or everybody gets fired, right? So ego is supposed to be left at the door, and that's what it's about. And, you know, he's very receptive to that. And I think, obviously, you know, coming in, we got a bunch of dudes, right? Not just guys, on the team or on this offense, we have dudes that have done it at a high level. And so sometimes as a coach coming in, you may be walking on eggshells, and I just kind of put that to bed. Like, it's not – nobody's sensitive in here. You know, we want to win games just as bad as you do. And it's a collaborative effort in everything. This is not Pop Warner. You know, this is – we work together side by side to get things done. And, yeah, that's really what my message was.
I mean, David, this overlaps, allergic to those types of sentiments at this point, because, you know, this overlaps with something that you've been talking about all week in terms of whether the coaching staff here has the firmness to acknowledge when something is not acceptable. And Mercedes almost put that on a billboard for you and saying that there hasn't been enough forward, forthright, candid criticism of players and plays that need to be criticized. And so you hear that in the voice from a guy who's 40 years old and been in the league forever. It means something to you, and you hope it means something to Shane and Matt and everybody that's around them in the coaching wing of the building here at LSL.
This is what I heard. I heard Mercedes Lewis talk about having dudes. So I think of him. I think of DJ Moore. I think of Keenan Allen. I think of maybe even Nate Davis, who's been accomplished. I know he's a trigger for a lot of people here, but you think of guys who have accomplished something elsewhere and they are dudes. And then you think about, well, here comes Shaden Waldron into that room. And Mercedes Lewis said, sometimes as a coach coming in, new guy, you might be walking on eggshells. I just kind of put that to bed. Like, nobody's sensitive in here. It sounds like Mercedes Lewis had to say to Shane Waldron, treat us like dudes. Don't be tentative. Don't coach us. And I know he didn't say that as directly, but Dan,
he did though.
I know he didn't say Shane, he didn't do this, but I think he's talking about coaches not being on eggshells. He paints a picture of Shane Waldron tiptoeing around everything. And you can see there's such a tentativeness to the Bears offense that this is symbolic of. And I think that's a bad sign, because you've got a guy doing it for the first time that is not getting it done.
It's nervy, right? Like, everything is nervy right now. And nervy is not what you want in the middle of a football season. I mean, we are on the Thursday of week four talking here, David, and you've got one of the captains of the team telling us this is not Pop Warner. Right? Like, these aren't the messages you want. Now, just to give full context and nuance to the entirety of the discussion, Mercedes did go on at the end of our exchange in front of his locker stall to talk about how Shane is sticking his neck out in front of the room and taking accountability for the play calls that he's gotten wrong and saying, here's the list. I'm going to give you a list right here of the play calls that I got wrong. And if I'm going to be hard on you guys for making mistakes as players, I'm going to own up to some of the things that I've done wrong as well. And so Mercedes' point with that is, when you have a coordinator willing to do that, and I think he said it to put something about a pot of gumbo, put himself in that pot of gumbo. Well, now all of a sudden you get a little bit more buy-in from players where you don't see it all as a finger pointing game, but there is some thumb involved as well. And so they've got to find a productive way to be solution oriented with this. But none of those comments that we heard just now from either Jalen Johnson or Mercedes Lewis gave you the sense that, oh boy, this team is walking in to Soldier Field on Sunday afternoon, chewing glass and ready to push the Rams right out of town.
Exactly. And last thing on this, then we'll move on, is that's why at the beginning of the week I referred to it as a coaching deficit. The Bears are at a coaching deficit heading into Sunday, because I can't imagine a scenario in which there was a Rams player on either side of the ball that's going to be quoted as wondering why his offensive play caller is walking on eggshells, or that Sean McVay has anything to doubt. Sean McVay has a Super Bowl to add some credibility. The staff is there and proven, and probably has the respect that maybe this one lacks, which is a problem three games into Matt Eberflus's third season. So keep an eye on that. Great stuff from Mercedes Lewis today and putting it all together, because I do think that's one of the biggest themes of the week.
No question about it. And now they've got to apply this to a 3-hour span from noon o'clock from noon until 3:30 on Sunday afternoon, and see what results they can get out of it.
Let's move on and get to our What to Watch segment with our predictions. One of the best things about this game in terms of a fan standpoint, and I guess from even a media standpoint, is the quarterback matchup. I love the way that Caleb speaks with reverent tones about Matthew Stafford. I didn't really know that before he expressed it. I knew about the Aaron Rodgers thing. And then you think, well, the proximity to each other the last couple of years especially gave Caleb Williams maybe a great vantage point to respect a guy who I think has got a Super Bowl ring, and Matthew Stafford is, you know, got Hall of Fame worthy credentials, at least for part of the discussion. And so that matchup to me is what makes this weekend fun, as well as just wondering if one can match the other. This is the elder statesman and a rookie quarterback, and I just look forward to seeing how they're going to be able to handle the challenge. I think you don't count the Rams out because of Matthew Stafford.
You get the sense that if Matthew Stafford finds Caleb Williams at the 50-yard line when the game ends and has some words of wisdom for him, he won't be pulling away and creating a stir on social media for the way he responds. I think
no
he'll be
doubt.
Listening with very attentive intention and be able to go that route. I think listening to Caleb on Wednesday talk about being a big fan of Calvin Johnson growing up and saying, I was watching all these highlights of Megatron making catches in double and triple teams, and then realizing over time as I got older, this Matthew Stafford guy really is pretty good at his job too. It's a pretty cool recognition that he's obviously carried forward as he's continued to study the position in his own growth as a high school, college, and now pro player. And he has a great admiration for the way Matthew Stafford is able to control a game, whether it's getting his offense in and out of things that they want to be in or out of, whether it's the ability to string along a defense with the things you do, showing that quarterback command that you can do in year 16 with a Super Bowl under your belt and the experiences you've gone through. There are skills that Matthew Stafford has, the fourth quarter moxie that he's shown over and over and over again throughout his career. There's things you want to latch onto as a young quarterback. Caleb obviously has.
And I think that the collaboration between Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay, when you look around the great teams in the NFL, the teams that win Super Bowls or compete for them, they have that with their play caller, head coach slash offensive coordinator, and the quarterback. You know, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor. You look at McVay and Stafford. They're in the top five, I think, of those kind of collaborations, because that's when you know things are working and in sync. And that's frankly what the Bears need to try or hope to try to find with Caleb Williams and fill in the blank. Shane Waldron this year, who knows moving forward what it will be when they finally get to the point where they're ready to contend for a Super Bowl.
And oh, by the way, the Bears offense will face a Rams defense that has been bad through the first 3 weeks of the season. We talked about Indianapolis being a potential get-well remedy for the running game. It wasn't, but the Rams aren't much better at stopping the run, and they're not really good at stopping the pass, and they haven't put a lot of heat on opposing quarterbacks at this point, and they've been atrocious on third downs, and they've got a first-time coordinator in Chris Shula working under Sean McVay there. So you want to talk about an opportunity here. The Bears better be ready and sharp and on their details and on the same page as everyone here has said 100 times this week to be able to take advantage of what should be a get well home game at Soldier Field.
So let's look at that offensive line across the way from left to right. I know Braxton Jones has been banged up. Darnell Wright has been banged up with a back issue. Nate Davis, not quite sure where he is with the groin or just being benched and bad. You have Matt Pryor, who's ready to play any one of three positions if asked and needed. Tevin Jenkins, didn't he have a deep thigh bruise after week two? What's his status? And Coleman Shelton, he's playing against his former team. I would imagine he would have some motivation. Kieran Amagaji, he was mentioned this week. I don't know if he's ready to go in live action, Dan. How would you describe the offensive line dilemma, and how do you think it'll line up?
Kieran Amagaji was active last week, and so he better be ready to go in live action if needed, breaking glass in case of emergency type of situation. Darnell Wright dealing with a back issue. The Bears are going to keep an eye on that. It seems like it's trending in the right direction, and he was able to get back on the practice field on Thursday, which is a good sign, but now you've got to see how things respond and how things go on Friday, and then as we get closer to kickoff, where he's at. Darnell Wright has showed some toughness last year in playing through some injury. I would expect him to do everything he can to be out on the field on Sunday, but if he's not, now you've got to reshuffle a bunch of things. And as you mentioned, Matt Pryor was a guy that became a stopgap for you at right guard. Well, now if you've got to slide him over to right tackle, then you've got to find someone else to play guard for you. And you don't want to continually be playing this game of musical chairs. And Matt Eberflus hit that head on Wednesday and saying, like, eventually our search for the best five has to create some forward momentum and some cohesion. And it can't just be a week after week after week reshuffling due to injuries and performance and everything else that goes with it. The Bears have to get right on the offensive line. They have to find things that suit their current offensive line that they can run with comfort comfort and confidence and authority, and they've got to get some of that production to get this thing moving in the right direction.
Well put. And I think before we get to our predictions, the other thing we need to at least address is you can see improvement in a lot of different areas. You hope to get improvement from your quarterback and the running game and, you know, certain things about maybe even your defense, although the defense has been pretty good. The one thing you don't want to have to count on, and I don't know how you gauge it or measure it or prepare for it, is you need some improvement from your head coach. We talked going into the season about Matt Eberflus being impactful on Sundays, the way great head coaches are. I don't think we meant impactful in a negative way, but the two challenges in Houston were followed up by the blown timeout because of the two-point conversion confusion last Sunday. Dan, I don't know how you practice these things, but where is your confidence level on Matt Eberflus being able to correct some of these things and improve his role and hold up his end?
It's got to be better because you don't have excuses. You don't have excuses anymore where you say, I don't have the roster to compete. I don't have the players. I don't have the horses. Like, you have to be sharp in the moments that require sharpness. It's understanding how to manage two-minute drills. It's knowing how to use the challenge flag properly. It's knowing game situations so that you don't waste timeouts trying to decide whether you're going for one or two. You can't hang your team out to dry with poor coaching decisions. And Matt Eberflus has to prove something here, not only Sunday, but in the Panthers game the week after that, and when they go to London, and when they come back from the bye. And it's an entire season's worth of tests that he's going to have to take to prove to everyone, most importantly, the people inside the building, and most importantly, inside the building, inside his own locker room, that he is the man that can lead them to the next level. So this is a challenge, right? And so let's go into Sunday at Soldier Field and give him his opportunity to get better and make his own self-corrections in the way he promised he would. We'll see where the results land.
All right, time to make our predictions for Sunday at Soldier Field. Let's bring in Adam Sadzinski, Studs, our producer, to start with the festivities. I don't know where you are head-wise, Studs. I'm sure the Bears have let you down. Rams coming to town, the Bears at Soldier Field, noon kickoff, which is 10 a.m. On the body clocks of all those L.A. Rams. What do you think is going to happen Sunday at Soldier Field?
So where I'm at, by the way, like, come on, you know, don't act like this team hasn't been off to bad starts in my life before. I'm doing just fine over here. So like, we got a lot bigger stuff going on, you know. So in all seriousness, though, I think that I spent a little more time thinking about this one than I thought I was going to, but I think that I go back to the way I was thinking before the season and the standard that I was going to be holding them to, which is they should win games now that there's win games you're supposed to win against lesser opponents. And the Bears have a better team. Go out there and win the damn game. So I'm going to keep holding them to that standard that I was coming into the season with. Go beat it. Go put up points on a defense that has not been good. Like, just run the damn ball and put up some points. And I think they're going to finally be able to do it after some of the conversations we've been hearing from Hollis Hall, and come out of here with a win and get back to 2-2. So I'm going to say Bears. I don't want to set the bar too high here. Bears 20, Rams 17, and they get out of there with a win. And things start to look a little better.
David, you were asking earlier for someone to come coach Shane Waldron on how to message. Studs, I think, just did a great job there of being authoritative and having some presence and speaking what the standard should be around here. Beat teams that you should beat. So here's my prediction for Sunday afternoon. Okay. I'm calling it the Oxygen Bowl because the winner gets back to 500 and the winner gets to take that big – that breath of relief that comes with winning a game like this. I've got the exact same score as Studs has. I've got 20-17, but I'm picking the visitors to win this football game on Sunday. And here's my reasoning. I think that I should have faith in the Bears to put their best foot forward offensively against this particular defense. You would think that a really strong Bears defense could be able to have their way with a Rams offense that, even though they have Matthew Stafford as their trigger man, have a bunch of injuries that are going to make them depleted when they come here. But whenever I have doubt, I ask myself, who's got the better quarterback? Who's got the better head coach? Who's got more confidence in this moment? That's a clean sweep for the Los Angeles Rams. So I've got them coming in here, pulling off a mild upset, getting back to 2-2, 20-17.
Wow. Okay. So the Bears actually have the longest home winning streak in the NFL. They've won six in a row.
Is that right?
Yes. They have the longest active home winning streak in the NFL, according to the Bears play-by-play man, Jeff Joniak. So I think.
What does he know?
I know. I mean, you said it, not me. I like his partner. So
it's a biased source there.
Yeah. It's an opportunity for the Bears to take care of their home field the way they have done a nice job of going back to last season. I also think that last weekend in Indianapolis shook my confidence in pretty much everything. As I wrote, as we talked about, everything you believed about the Bears going into the season, you were given reason to question or doubt after that game. It was that bad. The Colts don't strike me as a playoff team. They don't look like a team that's going to win more than they lose. That's a bad loss, and I just think that there are things that are troubling to me that weren't necessarily troubling as I enjoyed the Hard Knocks bounce of enthusiasm. It's dead. Hard Knocks honeymoon over. This is a team that's going to have a coaching deficit on Sunday. When in doubt, go with the collaboration of quarterback and head coach that you trust. I don't trust the Bears. I do trust Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford. He could be throwing to a guy they signed on Friday on the way to the airport at LAX, and they would still probably catch four passes, and he would put him in stride in the right position to succeed. The Bears are going to lose this game 23-20.
Making a note to myself here to schedule an emergency appointment with my therapist for next week.
All right. You guys are leaving me on an island over here. Come on.
I know. Well, you got a great opportunity to say I told you so in the post game. So those are our predictions. Let's move the chains now, talking about what else is at stake this weekend. All right, Dan, there's just something about coming home that might help the Bears. There's just something about the atmosphere that might hurt the Bears. I don't quite know. You termed it the oxygen bowl. I think this, and we at the risk of repeating our opening segment, I think in the NFL, as we have talked about all week on the Mullen Haas show and has been the conversation around town, you are 3 weeks away from calamity or prosperity. Always, whether or not you're in the midst of, no matter how good things might be seemed to going or how bad things are, the Bears could lose their third straight game on Sunday to the Rams. If they lose three straight, then things get louder when you're talking about why did they hire Shane Waldron? Why did they retain Matt Eberflus? Why didn't Ryan Poles put together a better offensive line? All these questions become more valid. Maybe even, and I hate this conversation, I hate it with all of my football instincts, but people will be asking if they drafted the wrong quarterback, if they should have kept Justin Fields. These are the kinds of things, the conversations that a win might cease or at least suppress. But if you lose, it's open season on every aspect of everything at Halas Hall. And I think that part of me wants the Bears to avoid it. The other part of me doesn't think they can.
So I am fully of the belief that there is much more psychological damage that would be done with a loss Sunday than there would be confidence gained from a win. And I think you heard that in our opening segment in some of the player sentiments that are going around here. I think you are sort of teetering on the ledge here, that if you don't put your best foot forward and you feel like you're not a well-coached football team and all of a sudden you're 1-3 and you're staring up at a division that we've already acknowledged is really, really tough, you're in trouble. And so I do think the psychological stakes of Sunday's game are much higher than they should be for it being the final Sunday in September. I really do. And that's a scary place to live, particularly for, again, players that have been here and been through it a little bit. When Jalen Johnson says, as he did in that bite we played a little earlier, that you know, you've got guys thinking about saying, man, forget it. if you lose a game in disappointing fashion again, it's dangerous. It's a dangerous territory to be in. I don't know how the Bears get themselves in the proper headspace to get through that in a week like this. Remember, the Rams are coming off a win last weekend against the reigning NFC champion 49ers, in which they were down by 10 points in the fourth quarter, and they found a way. And I think Sean McVay stampeded right to the podium after that win and dropped a couple curse words because he was so elated at the level of fight and resilience and fortitude that that team showed to win that football game. The Bears need one of those experiences in the worst way. They had a really good one in week one against the Titans team that we were seeing is not all that good. You need more of that to create that collective swell of confidence, belief, and unity.
And it was a coaching move, a fake punt that turned things around in that Rams game. That was something that you, again, that's how you build belief in a coaching infrastructure and a head coach and his judgment in his game day operation and his ability to impact games in a positive way rather than a negative way. So lots at stake. The Oxygen Bowl begins at noon on the lakefront. Let's wrap things up with our 2-minute drill.
The 2-minute drill.
The 2-minute drill.
All right, Dan. So the Bears signed another tight end, Steven Carlson, added to the 53-man roster. What's behind that?
No, I'm trying to figure that out a little bit. That one was interesting to figure out what that means to their offensive desires and what that means to their health up front. Remember that the Kari Blasingame has been dealing with an injury here for the last couple weeks, and so maybe that's an opportunity to squeeze that role back in some way, shape, or form. We'll get a little bit better feel for where that is in the days ahead, but good observation by you.
Keenan Allen has been practicing. His plantar fasciitis may be improving, although Matt Eberflus sounded less than certain when he said, hope so, when they said this is going to be a problem. Or what did he say? Was it hope so, or hope it's the end of it? It doesn't sound like it's going to go away. What role do you think Keenan Allen plays in this passing game on Sunday? How badly do they need him?
We have actually asked for the last couple of days if we can talk to Keenan Allen now that he's back on the practice field. And the answer we've gotten from inside Hallis Hall has also been hope so. And we still haven't got him. Keenan's supposed to talk on Friday, so we'll get a better feel for what his physical limitations are, where he's at as he tries to make his way back and make an impact for this team. You know where I've stood on this all along. You know, this is an eye test thing, and it's about an eye test in practice. It's about an eye test on Sundays, and you have to find a way to manage this short term while also viewing it long term so that he can be maximally helpful to you for the rest of the season, because you need things that are going to help your young quarterback grow. Keenan's at a spot right now that's a little precarious, I think, and it's made an impact on the Bears offense.
Subplot to this whole thing we're talking about, if they lose and things start to get a little bit shaky or skittish, I love that word, you've got Roma Dunze breaking out, you got DJ Moore getting paid. I do wonder, as Keenan Allen enters a contract year, if he becomes healthier, what happens to the targets? Who gets loudest? How does that chemistry work behind the scenes in the passing game?
Now, I don't see that being an issue any way, shape, or form. This is one of the more low-maintenance trios that you're going to find in the NFL. But, you know, look, like that was a breakout moment in Indy for Roma Dunze, and you want to see him build on it. I think you heard Caleb Williams' confidence on Wednesday just talking about how he understands that these two are going to be together for a long time. So every opportunity they have to kind of grow that chemistry and grow that timing and develop that rapport with production is important. And it was important last week against the Colts. Hopefully that carries forward with or without Keenan Allen.
I tend to remember, that was Travis Bell from Kennesaw State. Is that a 7th-round draft pick? He's back in town.
Back on the practice squad. He was one of Ryan Poles' favorite players. That would have been the 22 draft, I believe, or the 20. I lose track of all these things, but it was 23 draft. So this would be year two. He's back on the practice squad for the Bears, and so a return to Hallis Hall. One of the more well-liked players, both in the defensive line room and by the coaching staff overall. So good to see him get another opportunity here at Hallis Hall, and we'll see where that goes from here. But a fun reunion in an otherwise tense week here at Hallis Hall.
Is the rumor true, and you're writing about one of your favorite ex-Bears quarterbacks, Mark Sanchez? Is he finding his way in the Tribune again?
Already written. So it was at ChicagoTribune.com right now. I think it will be in your Saturday newspaper for those who are the podcast listeners that are still getting their print product delivered to their driveway. There's about three of them, I think, out there. But we talked about this in week one. I had a long conversation right before the season started with Mark Sanchez about the Caleb Williams experience. Obviously, a lot of overlap between two guys that played at USC, were top five draft picks in major media markets, were drafted to teams that had defensive-minded coaches with really good units on that side of the ball. Mark has a ton of good insight on what Caleb is experiencing right now and what the Bears are faced with as they're sort of challenged to simultaneously develop a quarterback for the long term while in the short term trying to find that win now mentality. And there's a balance there, and it's a little bit difficult. You want to check that piece out because the Sanchez brings wisdom to the print product, and he brings wisdom to our podcast by extension.
Oh, no doubt about it. I always have a smile on my face when I hear Mark Sanchez talking football. I'm glad you tracked him down. He's going to be with Adam Amin on Sunday.
Correct. Back in the booth for the second time at Soldier Field. Yep. So that's another hook there. And he was obviously there in the opener, and we'll continue to share some of his insight there.
They're quite good together. I think they have a good chemistry. They definitely know what they're watching. And I mean, Adam Amin is terrific at whatever sport he does. So I guess that's going to be a treat for Bears fans Sunday at noon. And we will be back Sunday after the game with a post-game podcast reaction to whatever happens. We'll see if Studs is right. He picked the Bears. Or Dan and I prevail. We picked the Rams. We'll find out exactly what happened, put it into some sort of perspective, or just rant for about 15 or 20 minutes. Anything else, Dan, before we get out?
Yeah, this is my last sentiment here, and you can react very quickly, but I don't know if I can do this again, right? Like, there are some years where the circus breaks out here at Halas Hall, and you say, okay, cool, I'm going to go get my popcorn, and I'm going to get my pen out, and I'm going to chronicle all of the ways that this organization finds to fall apart. I don't know if I can do it. I have no choice, and I'm gonna do whatever happens here in the weeks ahead. But if this falls apart here, David, with a season that 3 weeks ago had such hope and now is again dangling on the clip, I don't know. That's why I joked with you as we were making our predictions that I need to make a surprise visit to my therapist to get myself back in the right headspace, because I just don't think any of us saw this getting to this point this quickly.
I respect where you're coming from. I agree with your sentiments, and I'm not asking for sympathy. But, okay, now take the Bears' dysfunction, and if this falls apart, and then you put it at the end of a White Sox season that has been historically bad, the Cub level of disappointment, which I have argued on the air, has been even more disappointing in terms of expectations than what the White Sox endured. The Blackhawks have been so far out of the playoffs for so long, I can't even remember the last time they had hockey in April or May in Chicago. And then the Bulls have slid into irrelevance, and they're worried about protecting a top 10 draft pick by being bad enough to get it. I'm going crazy myself. So I can't afford this to happen or go south either. So we both have similar investments emotionally into what happens. And that's not meaning we're rooting for an outcome. I think we're just hoping that we can avoid digging in, because this feels so familiar. If this gets off the rails, we have done it before and written and talked about it in a way that we would like to avoid writing and talking about it again.
I've been having fun covering this team really since the spring, and the thought of not having fun covering this team is a little jarring. It's a little daunting. You and I both picked the Rams to win on Sunday. Maybe the Bears will prove us wrong.
Maybe they will, but you can find out what we have to say right here on the Take the North Pod on your free Odyssey app, or you can watch us on the 670 Sports YouTube page. For Adam Sadzinski and Dan Weider, I'm David Haw. Thank you for listening and watching the Take the North Podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.